choir. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles, please open with me while we all keep standing. Thank you, choir. Please open to Acts of Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. We want to read from verse 1 through to 8. And we're going to read in concert. So I'll take one verse, you read the next. Then I'll read the next and you read the next. We go on like that. Is that okay? If you are there, say amen.
Amen.
If you are still looking for Acts of Apostles, say wait for me. Hallelujah. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. I read verse 1. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach.
Until the day in which he was taken up, after that he drew the Holy Spirit and given commandments to the apostles whom he had chosen.
To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God.
And being assembled together with them, he commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promises of God, which they said, "Have you heard of me?"
For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father had put in his own power. Now I'm going to read verse 9 and 10 myself. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Father, breathe on your word.
Amen.
Holy Spirit of God, let this word come alive. That the message we are going to glean out of these scriptures, let it become a living message.
Amen.
That will stir our spirit, man.
Amen.
That will bring us closer to you.
Amen.
That will set our hearts on fire.
Amen.
And your name alone be glorified.
Amen.
And the people said,
amen.
Hallelujah. You may be seated. You know why I laughed initially is reading this scripture. It always makes me laugh. Because some Muslim cleric says that the promise of the Father which Jesus spoke about was Muhammad. There's something that negates that already, right from where what we read. Amen. He said, he told them, verse 4, I'm being assembled together with them, commanded them they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith, ye have heard of me. I wonder if Muhammad met them there in Jerusalem. I wonder. Terrible lies propagated by terrible people. Hallelujah. We know the promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Amen. The title of our message today is titled is Occupy Till I Come. Occupy Till I Come. Occupy. Luke 19 verse 13. The Bible says, and he called ten servants, and delivered them £10, and said unto them, occupy till I come. He gave them something to trade with. He gave them responsibilities in his absence. If we had time to read that scripture in Luke 19, we will see that this man, like Jesus gave this parable, was a man rich in everything and in stature, pomp and pageantry. This man was departing for a long time to come. Jesus was actually speaking of himself, going for a long time to come. You know, there's a difference between goodbye and see you later. Praise the Lord. I personally, I don't like goodbyes. It's always a see you later. See you later by the grace of God. Amen. Jesus, in Acts of Apostles, according to the account of Dr. Luke, Jesus wasn't saying goodbye. He was saying, see you later. Because he already told the disciples in John 14, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. I go to prepare a place, and I'm coming back. Somebody who is returning does not say goodbye. Praise the Lord. Because goodbyes can weigh on your heart. Amen. Goodbyes can be translated into different things. But see you later puts you in a mode of expectation. Amen. It puts you and I in a mode of expectation. In Acts of Apostles chapter 1, Jesus is saying to his disciples, see you guys later. This is a person who has spent the better part of 3.5 years with his disciples. Intimate times. They have eaten together. They have slept in the same place. They have followed him almost everywhere that he went. If you ask them for his itinerary, they knew. No wonder Judas Iscariot knew where to lead the soldiers to go and take Jesus Christ. They knew him. He didn't hide anything from them. Maybe he hid things from the general public, but he never hid anything from his disciples. When he spoke in parables on the outside, he would tell them the translation on the inside. Thereby, the periods they spent together, his life rubbed on them. Do you know that anything you touch has already touched you? The day we invited a policeman, a police officer, to come to church, to come and talk to the church. This was back in England. And the guy said, if you hug somebody and you run away, we will find you. Because the person you hugged, just hug, you left something on them. All they need to do is take the jacket or the dress of that person and find your DNA on it. And that person also left something on you. Not to talk about somebody you spent 3.5 years with. Look at husband and wife. Is it not always said that after a while they begin to look like brother and sister? They begin to resemble each other because they are living something in each other. Praise the Lord. The lives of these disciples never remain the same. Amen. Their lives and their environment never remain the same. When Jesus died and others had given up, some of the disciples gave up. Should I say all of them? Except for Mary Magdalene, who was also a disciple, if you must know. She's just not numbered among the 12. Amen. But there I say, she believed more than the 12. Jesus arose. Nobody knew where he was. But those 40 days, 10 days he was away. We don't know where he was. Don't want to go into that. But there were 40 days he spent after resurrection. After he had shown himself, he had gone to hell, came out of hell, went to heaven. You remember he told Mary, don't touch me. I'm yet to present my father, myself to my father. You know? Then he came. Where they were gathered together, he entered there. Remember on the road to Emmaus, he was walking with two. Praise the Lord. He spent those 40 days with his disciples. Those are glorious 40 days he spent with them. He must have taught them many other things. Thomas, who didn't believe, now his faith grew. Hallelujah. But now, time came for him to leave. Praise the Lord. Time came for him to say, I will see you guys again. He told them, wait in Jerusalem. They obeyed that. They went to the upper room. They were there in the upper room, numbered 120. They received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And from there, miracle signs and wonders began to happen. Hallelujah. From there, they begin to be persecuted. And they dispersed all over, carrying with them the power of the gospel that Jesus Christ gave to them. They saw him be lifted up in the cloud. They saw him ascending to heaven. They saw him ascending to heaven. They saw him. He was taken up in their sight. That would have been a great sight. That would have been an awesome sight. They were stupefied. If I was there, I know I probably would cry. And I'll say, Jesus, take me with you. There's an experience in my life that I can never forget. Everybody say, oh, God loves us. God is love. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. But if you have never experienced the love of God, you are missing something. I mean, the tangible love of God, I experienced it. It was a taste of what it will be like when we get to heaven. That day, I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Sitting like doctor is sitting in front. Somebody preaching, I was sitting beside somebody who was praying in tongues. Suddenly it was like a bolt of lightning from heaven, from nowhere. Just hit me, bam. I've been praying to be baptized. I got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Immediately, nobody laid hands on me with evidence of speaking in tongues. Something happened in me that day. I turned back. I looked at the whole assembly. My God. It was like my heart had a glow. That sense of love is more than the kind of love I have for my wife or I have for my children. It's stronger. Love that overlooks fault. Love that sees people exactly the way God sees them. Love that carries no condemnation, no hatred within. I'm thinking, this is what the disciples too must have felt. Hallelujah. He had given them the Great Commission. He had told them to go into all the world. Hallelujah. He had told them he was going to return back. And I believe it. I know he will return back. Praise the Lord. Now, when he was on the cross, Luke 24:33 or 23:34, he said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. In the same vein, he said, it is finished. The work of redemption is finished. Nothing else can be added to it. There can be no other sacrifice to salvation. Jesus is the sacrifice. He became the propitiation for our sins. All we need to do is just accept it, believe him, and follow his instructions. Everything about our salvation is sorted. But there are some things that he left for you and I to do. Remember, I told us last week, God created you and I. He started something within us that he expects us to finish. So I want to share with us some of those things. I have about seven, but I'm not sure I can cover the whole seven today. The number one, the primary, he left us with a soul winning assignment that is not yet finished. Did you hear me, somebody? He left us with what? Soul winning assignment. Amen. Soul winning assignment. The Bible says in Acts of Apostles chapter 1 verse 1, the former tristers have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do. One of the major things he came to do, actually the major thing he came to do, the Son of Man came to seek that which was lost. What he began to do and to teach, he did soul winning. He taught soul winning. He never finished that. He even said in John chapter 10, he said there are still some sheep outside the fold that needs to be brought in. He left that for you and I to do. Praise the Lord. Luke 19:10, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Even if it remains one person to be saved, that one soul is important. Hallelujah. Imagine a nation like China, like I was saying last week, over 1 billion people, very hard to penetrate with the gospel. Jesus can't return yet until those people have heard the gospel. Whether communists or not, until they have heard the gospel. If God has used America to do one thing, that is to take the gospel around the world. The technology that is destroying is meant to be used to reach those who are lost. Hallelujah. This is a task that Jesus, one of the major he left for us, for the church to accomplish. He said in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. Go, I am backing you up. You know, one of the reasons why we don't evangelize, the reasons why we don't preach to others individually, is because we are afraid. You can't have the Holy Spirit and be fearful. You can't be a carrier of the truth and be fearful. We are not afraid to forget their dead and stories that are meaningless, but we are afraid to tell somebody that I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God. You are afraid that they are going to look at you somehow. Who cares? Go you therefore and teach all nations. You see, that word teach changes a lot of perceptions or perspectives. If I teach you something, then I'm telling you that what you know before is not the right thing. Hello? If I have to teach you, I'm telling you that what you know before. So Jesus said, go and teach them. What did he say? We should teach. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Teaching them what? Teaching them what? to observe all